The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Why does classical music bother criminals so much? We also talk about Marxism in three easy steps and why I'm not that excited about the Elon Musk-Mark Zuckerberg fight. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Get involved in our student movement that is helping make America a better place for your kids or grandkids. That is tpusa.com, tpusa.com. You can always email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, I want to get to this question first, though. Paul from Nevada says, Charlie, I'm trying to convince my daughter who went to college that Marxism is not going to work. Any tips that you could give me would be much appreciated. She was a conservative growing up. Then I sent her to college, and now she hates my values. I love the show. Well, thank you for listening. Okay, so I want to focus on a couple things on this. We can get highly academic when it comes to Marx, or we can try to synthesize it for you. I think trying to synthesize is probably more a greater help to you. So Marx was a trickster, and Marx needed to abolish three things. Remember, the ultimate goal, as articulated in the Communist Manifesto and in Das Kapital, is to eventually get to a utopian state. Karl Marx adopted a Rousseauian view of human nature, which is that human beings are naturally good. You should not believe that. Human beings are not naturally good. In fact, we have a lot of problems. In fact, I believe human beings are naturally have inclinations towards deceit, selfishness, narcissism, treachery. But in order to bring forth that utopia, which literally means nowhere, you must abolish three things. You do this in 10 seconds or less, describing this to your daughter or describing this to your friends. You must abolish family, property, private property rights, and religion. Family, property, religion. Karl Marx wrote extensively about eliminating those three things from civil society. And then the Marxist revolution can truly take root. Get rid of the family. Get rid of the nuclear bonds that keep mom and daughter, mom and son, father and son tied together. Get rid of your right to own property. Now, you hear this with the World Economic Forum, where they say you will own nothing and you will be happy. And then, of course, get rid of religion, a transcendent order, a belief in the divine. The elimination of those three things can then bring forth utopianism. This idea of utopia was actually first theorized by Thomas More, who, again, utopia in Latin means nowhere. It's never going to happen. In order to get to nowhere, though, in order to get to utopia, you must deconstruct everything around you. An animating force that is probably captivating your daughter and many other younger activists that we deal with on campus is that everything around us is flawed, it's terrible, the capitalist system, the colonialist system, and we have to tear it all down, and we're going to build something new in its wake, and that new thing will be a communism of sharing, of collective ownership of the means of production. They think, they being the communists, that they can get to this in their lifetime. But what communism actually is, or what socialism actually has become, is a small group of unelected, a secret society that calls the shots for the rest of you. It's not about egalitarianism. It's not about equity. These are all excuses just to make the powerful people more powerful. Because no matter how hard you try, you cannot eliminate hierarchies. Some people are going to be smarter. Some people are going to work harder. And they can try their best. What is the pursuit of equity? The pursuit of equity is a fantasy to try to say that we can make all people equal by force. In Bill Federer's great book, Socialism, A Real History from Plato to the Present, he talks about some of these utopian experiments. One I want to focus on. In the Smithsonian Magazine, October 2019, they published When Socialism Came to Oklahoma. In the early 1900s, Southeast Oklahoma's old Indian territory was controlled by cotton landowners who rented land to tenant farmers from southern states in search of opportunity. Rents and interest became exorbitant, compounded by poor soil and pestilence. Continues on that they promised a socialist goal of eliminating private property. He attracted 20,000 followers by promising them land. They robbed banks, burned barns, dynamited farm equipment, cut telegraph lines, and set fire to bridges. They called this paradise on earth, the cooperative commonwealth. They also threatened to murder snitches. The same year as 1917, Russia's Bolshevik Revolution, the Green Corn Rebellion took place. Armed with Winchesters, shotguns, squirrel guns, they dodged the World War I draft, and they said that they were going to overthrow the capitalist government. But eventually there was dissension in the ranks, and the sheriff recruited a posse of local Oklahomans, surrounded them on a mountain where they surrendered. An article that says, Utopia is a Dangerous Ideal by Mark Michael Shermer, of all people, quote, most of these 19th century utopian experiments were relatively harmless because without large numbers or members, they lacked political and economic power. But add those factors, and utopian dreamers can be turned into dystopian murderers. Utopian dreamers into dystopian murderers. Let's make this even more simple. How many failed attempts in Marxism do they get? How many failed attempts of Marxism should we give them? They are 0 for 100. Everywhere it is tried, it results in murder, tragedy. And the Marxists, and we've had them, not necessarily in this program, but I've debated them, they'll say, oh, that wasn't real Marxism, or it's because of foreign interference. Do you notice it never works? Because it's inconsistent with the human being. It goes against who we are. We are not meant to live in an ideal, in a fantasy Narnia. No, more times than not, if you implement a form of a Marxist-type government, it's going to end in suffering, genocide, division, destruction of the middle class. And yet, why is Marxism so tempting and alluring and appealing? Because it speaks to the lower parts of our being. You don't have to work. You can do whatever you want. You can do what's right in your own eyes. Somebody else is to blame for your problems. At the root of Marxism is weaponized complaining of you are not responsible for you. Somebody else is responsible for you. Unhappy, it's the white person's fault. Depressed, it's the transphobe's fault. That's an easy message to spread in the masses. And that's actually how you end up controlling a population, because you are not then your own sovereign individual. You are a cog in the wheel of the state. It will be a question. Can we in the West hold the line on the three things the Marxists are going after? Every single day, the Marxists are going after the nuclear family in the West. They're going after our private property rights, and they're going after our religion. Not just our religious rights. They're just trying to make religion less appealing. New story in the Wall Street Journal says this very clearly. It's really sad. It's happening in big numbers. Why middle-aged Americans are not going back to church. Americans in their 40s and 50s often identify with a religion, but they're also in the thick of raising kids, caring for aging parents, and juggling demanding jobs. We are the most secular we've ever been. We're also the most miserable, most depressed, most suicidal. We'll talk about that in just a second. And that's a very tough question. Are the Marxists winning? Since 9/11, have the Marxists gained more ground or lost more ground in their stated clear goal of destroying and or weakening the American family, our private property rights, and our attachment to a belief in God? It's tough to say, but it's true. In the last 20 years, the Marxists have made considerable traction in eroding the American family, property, religion. But I'm starting to see a revival. All right, you've probably heard me. It's actually now 25 pounds that I have lost. And I'm sure some of you say, oh, Charlie, I've tried everything. That was me. You know, my first Zoom call with my PhD weight loss, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, come on, guys. All right, I've heard this whole thing before. And boy, was I wrong. They know what they're doing, my PhD weight loss. Look, this is 100% legit. And people say, well, Charlie, you've lost so much weight. And I say, yeah, my PhD weight loss, hello. But look, they have a different approach. And it's Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's great. I text with her. She does a really, really good job. 25 pounds, I'll tell you. And I have more energy and I'm healthier than ever before. Here's why. The program rids your body of the inflammation that is causing so many health problems. If you look around today, America is the fattest it has ever been. Our families, friends, and neighbors are dying of diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's, now called T3 diabetes. PhD has helped so many people who want to have a good, active life, play with their grandkids, travel, hike to a waterfall, go for a bike ride, but their weight was holding them hostage. They don't want any of you on experimental drugs for your brain degeneration from Alzheimer's or homebound with an oxygen tank for heart failure. My PhD weight loss knows that losing weight is the best thing for overall health. We are way too fat as a society. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you say, boy, I'm a little overweight, it's perfectly fine. Do something about it. Use your free will, your agency. Say, you know what? I'm just not where I want to be. This is an empowerment tool for you. All of these things can be prevented. You look at heart disease, the beast, you know, what they now call diabesity. By the way, there's a great new book by Dr. Peter Attia about longevity. You want to live long? Lose weight. Look, Dr. Ashley Lucas, she is the master of this, and she is the genius behind my PhD weight loss. So you can call them today at 864-644-1900. That is 864-644-1900. By the way, this is not like a sign up and you're automatically going to lose weight. You got to do some work. You got to apply yourself. It's not a too good to be true thing. But if you have motivation, they will channel that motivation towards a very positive, measurable, and real outcome. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. That is myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, physician and dietitian developed, individually delivered. Again, I lost 25 pounds and I feel great. If you think you've tried everything, you're wrong until you say you've tried my PhD weight loss. They map you as a whole person. It's not like, hey, just read this book. No. It's a deep dive. It's personalized. It's going to get results for you. MyPhDweightLoss.com. Charlie, did you see that suicides hit a record high in the United States last year? More than 50,000. My own family has been blessed not to have any, but too many of my friends have had children, nieces, nephews, siblings, or cousins, and their own lives. What is happening? Dorothy from Florida. Yeah, we've had people in our Turning Point USA orbit kill themselves, and friends that I went to high school with. This is a widespread problem. Our leaders don't care about it. They don't. They'll give some lip service. They do care a lot about funding the war in Ukraine, but it should be a broader cultural issue of what the heck is going on here. I think it ties together. We have the least religious society. If you don't believe in God, that obviously increases the likelihood of wanting to end your own life. I also think that when you're surrounded by ugly things, it's awfully depressing. There is a widespread ugliness that have set into our society. Our buildings, our media, our art, our music. We do not elevate the soul. We do not challenge people to look up, to wonder. Instead, it's the opposite. Instead, it seems as if there's a lowering of the spirit. And it feels awfully intentional. But when you're surrounded by this cult of ugliness. How are you supposed to respond? Well, one of the things that we talk about frequently on this program is that you have to be a happy warrior. You cannot allow the overly negative culture to impact you. It's very tough. You have to recognize that you are your own sovereign being. I think people are way too much on their phones and too online, being in their own misery making. You need to get to know people. You need to create your own community. You need to go to church, honestly. Stop doing drugs. Stop drinking. And you need to try to reject ugly things. I stop watching most of the Netflix stuff. Most of that Netflix stuff is trash. That Hulu stuff. Listen to classical music. Ask the question, why were people 100 years ago far less likely to kill themselves? We're told that this is the best time ever to be alive. Remember, it's the end of history, according to Fukuyama. It's the end of history. Everything's great. Is it? Then why are suicides at a record high? When you believe that men can give birth, that masculinity is toxic, you're not allowed to love your country, and you're all going to die of climate change, it creates a depressed society, and that's exactly what they want. Our leaders are not angry or upset that people are killing themselves. They just kind of shrug their shoulders. Nah. Take more benzodiazepines. There are more people on antidepressants, yet more people that are killing themselves. Are the antidepressants working? Why does anyone ask that question? We have more people taking the drugs than ever before, and yet we have more people killing them. You might say, well, Charlie, those two things are related. More people depressed. Aren't the drugs supposed to treat it? It should be the opposite, right? Suicide rate should be going down. Why are so many young people killing themselves? This is just one example. When you are surrounded by this moral chaos, by this ugliness, this is a doctor. Don't be shocked when 50,000 people murder themselves. I'm not making an excuse for it. It's inexcusable to do such a thing. But you have to understand the cultural dynamics that surround it. Play cut 155.
Some straight men are attracted to trans women who haven't had bottom surgery. This is very disconcerting and confusing to women when they find this out, because they think, well, if she hasn't had bottom surgery, then, and you want to play with that part of her, then you can't be 100% straight. But that doesn't make sense, because you have to remember that these are still women. Trans women are women. They are female. The attraction to her is from the waist up, but it can also be from the waist down. And they can experience pleasure playing with that person from the waist down. But that act, again, doesn't indicate a sexual orientation. It indicates an attraction to the person, to the woman, the trans woman. Actually, some of these men are attracted to gender fluidity, in that the person exhibits both male and female body parts. And that's attractive to them. Just like some gay men are attracted to trans men who haven't had bottom surgery. That doesn't make them bi, it doesn't make them straight.
Yeah, it remains a mystery why so many people are killing themselves. Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example. Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. And financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer. With Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine. 100% behind him. Check it out today. This is a fascinating thing that's happening now. Eli from Michigan. Charlie, can you help explain why all of a sudden when I go shopping, I'm hearing classical music? I read stories that they're using it as a deterrent? Love the program. I've subscribed and got my family to do the same. This story is something that has really sparked a fair amount of conversation in our chat with our team, which is So there's all this vagrancy and this homelessness. We shouldn't put up with it. They should be in mental institutions, put them in mental asylums, or give them, you know, a meal or some shelter. Treat them humanely, but get them off the streets. Enough, okay? The vagrancy, the defecation, the drug usage, the sexual assaults. The streets are not your home, okay? We have to have order. You have to clean up the filth, okay? Enough. The humane thing to do is to put them somewhere that is not on the streets. So, but unfortunately, we live in this upside-down world where we use the force of government not to clean up our streets. We use in the force of government to go after our political dissidents, Steve Bannon, Tina Peters, Donald J. Trump. The list goes on, right? So businesses have had enough. It's impacting their bottom line. And this is so funny. This is in Chicago, my hometown, which has completely lost its mind. Chicago is not the city it used to be. It's a total hellscape. Get out if you're in Chicago. It's only going to get worse. Is now, this is so interesting, and it ties into the previous topic somewhat, is classical music is now being played outside of Walgreens, 7-Elevens, and department stores across the country as a deterrent for loitering and crime. Play cut 156.
It's a sound you might not expect to hear outside of downtown Walgreens. The store is just one of several now playing classical music outside.
The reason for the music, according to Walgreens, is not to attract shoppers, but rather to discourage people from hanging around the store. In a statement, a company spokesperson confirmed at various locations, we have implemented a recorded music loop that plays classical music outside of some stores to help deter loitering on the premises.
So I asked the obvious question, what's going on? I love classical music. I listen to it every morning before the program. Anyone who knows who has meetings with me at Turning Point USA in my office, I always have classical music playing. Bach, Vivaldi, Handel, Schubert, there's a great, right? Beethoven, Mozart, whatever. It's just like I just have it on loop, and I'm by no means an aficionado. By the way, I mispronounce the names all the time. But I like the music, and I find it really comforting, and I also love working with it. So why would be playing classical music outside of department stores result in less crime or loitering? And this, by the way, is extremely now controversial. Liberals are complaining about this, of course, because they hate classical music. They always have. They hate beautiful things. They are the ugly movement. Peter Hardrin, a customer who recently lived near the 7-Eleven North Hollywood, says that the homeless people are people. They're not pigeons. It's the auditory equivalent of putting spikes on a bench, and it really bothered me. This is from Los Angeles in the last couple of years. The Chicago Coalition for Homeless, the Chicago Coalition for Homeless have done nothing except pander to the mentally ill, the vagrants, and have pandered to them. Quote, it's essentially treating homeless people as less than human and treating them as a nuisance. They are. Whereas they are folks that are in need of housing. No, they're not. They're in need of a lot more than housing. You could give homeless people housing within a day. It's not a problem. That's not the problem. The problem is they have deep-seated mental problems, some of them, or some of them legitimately need some mental counseling. They had a tough time. That's fine. It is proven time and time again, it's not a material issue for the vagrants. Anyway, Doug Schlecklenberg, executive director of the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless. I guarantee you Doug Schlecklenberg does not have the vagrants living in his living room. So, and by the way, let me just say this. Vagrancy, homelessness, it depresses a society. It makes you feel like you're living in Gotham, dystopian hellscape. It's not good for anybody, okay? It's not good for children. It's not good for our standards. Okay, so, but playing classical music, what is going on here? So you play Bach, you play Beethoven, you play Vivaldi, and it makes the homeless people not want to be there? So there's a couple theories here, and at police1.com, five things to know about fighting crime with classical music. Cities are using classical music in public spaces to deter crime in Dallas, Seattle, and Portland, and it's working. The question is, yes, overwhelming. It cut assaults by 33%, vandalism by 37%. But why does it work? Well, the easy answer is that it works because it releases stress, and that classical music is written in such a way to calm you down. But it says, according to police1.com, the strategy has garnered criticism. It's like of all the things that classical music being played in public places, we hate that. It's okay if you defecate, perfectly fine if you're naked twerking in front of an 8-year-old. That's progress. Classical music, you're a bigot. Drive-by shootings, no problem. Arson, progress. Looting and television, excellent. Classical music, that's where we're going to complain. the strategy has garnered criticism. Some see the use of classical music to deter crime as problematic. In San Francisco, the executive director of the Coalition on Homelessness said the tactic was noise pollution. Listening to the greatest music ever composed that glorifies God and elevates the soul is noise pollution. I'd be pretty surprised if it's a panacea. You're just moving the problem elsewhere. According to PoliceOne.com, they call it music being used as a weapon. There's a long history of music being used as an unconventional weapon. Now, if you really wanted people to scatter, just play Lizzo on repeat. I wouldn't loiter there. Now, I guess they say that classical music is white supremacy. The homeless director says, quote, the city needs real solutions to combat the problem. As if anybody in their right mind would ever consider the head of the anti-homeless group an expert. They failed, okay? You could solve homelessness in an afternoon. It's illegal. If you do it, we're going to take you off the streets, put you in a homeless shelter and or mental institution or asylum. That's it. End of story, okay? We'll get you the treatment you need. We'll treat you humanely. The streets are not your home. End of story. Clean it up. Order. We need order. Now, there's other theories that if you are not a very smart person, you actually find classical music annoying. That if you have a lower IQ, that classical music really bothers you. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's interesting. And it really begs the question that if you're dumb enough to loiter around and go rob a bunch of stuff, you're obviously not a very sophisticated criminal. Maybe Bach is really offensive to you. I did not plan on spending this much time on this topic, but it is personal to me because I just love classical music. It's a big part of my life. It's significantly enriched my life, and I hope it has for you too, or it will. And if it hasn't, you should get rid of all that other trash and just, it is so infinitely complex and it is so sobering, honestly, because you don't understand it on the first listen. You have to listen to it again and again, 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 again. But is classical music offensive to dumb people? I don't know the answer to that question, but there's something here. Because if they were just playing gangster rap, do you think that people would stop or do you think they'd complain? That's the real question. But they find the beautiful irritating. Maybe it's because what they're doing is ugly. Is it as deep? Maybe it's just as simple as it's music and it's annoying, but why classical music? By the way, if gangster rap was playing at a Walgreens, I would be like, forget that. I would stay away from that store. But classical music, I want to go shopping there. It's like elevating. So it does beg the question, does classical music bother people as almost like this reminder as here is something beautiful and elevated while you're doing something low and crummy and degenerate? Is it almost the equivalent of you're about to do a bad deed and your parent calls you? And almost like stops you short in your tracks. I don't know the answer. Does the classical music invoke a sense of guilt? I don't know. But there's something very, very interesting here. Is it a reminder of their shame? Is it a reminder of their literal and or metaphorical dirtiness of what they're engaging in? Looting, defecation, not taking care of themselves? I don't know the answer. But their reaction from all the homeless advocacy groups is so telling. This is dehumanizing. It's terrible. Why would it be dehumanizing to have a vagrant listen to the most beautiful thing? I don't know the answer, but I find this to be, I'm infinitely curious about it. You would think of all the ways you could stop homelessness. You'd have like a siren. You could do all this. No. Play the beautiful thing, and they scatter. Play the thing that has stood the test of time, and they disappear. The left tells us that old great things are done and tired, written by dead white males, that they're going to elevate new champions. The fact is that Beethoven, Mozart, and everyone else is towers over, and it enrages them. It's like a candle in a dark room. The cockroaches scatter. They disappear. because maybe that light of goodness, that beacon of beauty, which, by the way, these songs were all written to glorify God, to God be the glory, was written on every single one of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's compositions. Maybe it gets to the soul. So apparently there's this fight that's going to happen between Elon Musk and Zuckerberg. They've been feuding and fight. So I guess the way we settle stuff now is literally going into the Colosseum. My team is very excited about this. I'm not as fired up about it, but I'm going to present it as a great thing. I'm not like against it. I just don't know. I think it's Blake says I should challenge my critics to fights. Fight Media Matters. That's how we should do everything. We should duel it out. Yeah, I don't know about that. So I guess they're going to set some sort of precedent of just Colosseums type fighting. So I just have a thing that this thing's going to be so fake. Remember when Mitt Romney was going to do that fight and everyone was excited and it was like a total fraud? We'll see. Now, these two guys do really hate each other, I think, and their companies are actually at each other's throats. So there are some cool aspects of this. Now, will I be watching it? How could you not, right? You just can't watch. Of course, obviously, 100%. And it's going to be in a ridiculously awesome location. It's going to be in the Roman Colosseum. First fight there in over 1,600 years. Maybe. Oh, it's not confirmed yet. Well, if I think Giorgia Meloni is going to try everything she possibly can to do that. So Elon Musk has said this. The fight will be managed by my and Zuck's foundation. Livestream will be on this platform and Meta, talking about X. I spoke to the PM of Italy and the Minister of Culture. They've agreed on an epic location. Everything done will pay respect to the past and present of Italy, and all proceeds go to veterans. So, I mean, an epic location could probably only be either the Colosseum, the Pantheon. What other Italy, Italian epic locations could they have a fight in? Plenty. So they could do it at the summit of Mount Vesuvius. Yeah, that would kind of be like the old Roman gods, right? While it's erupting. We are a bored civilization. So, look, Musk and Zuck are going to fight. So now the obvious question, Charlie, who do you think is going to win? Well, is this a UFC fight or is this a boxing match? So if it is mixed martial arts, look, here's the thing. I think Zuckerberg, by all public reports, is taking this like super seriously, getting into fighting shape. I don't know if Elon is or not. So Zuckerberg's a very short person, isn't he? And Musk is not. So how are they doing the weight class thing? They're still fighting? Blake says, what if one of them dies? That would be bad, Blake, okay? That would not be good. Zuck seems to be in much better shape, but Elon is bigger. Elon hugely outweighs him, so I don't know. People seem super interested in this. I think we got better stuff to do. However, if you're going to do it, you have to do it. You have to do it right. Do it in the Colosseum. Film the whole thing. I guess it'll be ultra legendary. But I find these things to usually be more hype than spice. Meaning the hype is usually way more than the reality. Maybe not. Maybe there's going to be like this epic moment where Zuckerberg gives Elon Musk a brain aneurysm or something. I don't know. I hope that doesn't happen, obviously. But if they're doing MMA, UFC style, I don't know. I just have to say this. Society is not in a good place when you have two guys worth $100+ billion that are jetting across the world to go to the Roman Colosseum to fight on their own social media platform. I don't know when it is or when the date is set, but I'm sure it will be infinitely entertaining. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.